As we continue in our worship service, I hope that everyone enjoyed that as much as I did. I know Sister Kathy she and I have spoken in the past that there's such a worship in songs. There's so many sermons in the songs that we sing. And if those words impacted your heart and you truly brought them into your heart, I know that you're elevated, because I feel it, and I pray that you do too. Everybody, I want to, again, thank you for being here this day. And as we continue in this worship service, I pray that the message that we will study will mean something and be impactful to you. But I recognize that it may not just be for you. It may be for somebody in your family, or for somebody who's not here, or somebody that you know. And if that's the case, I pray that you will share it. Now, this is the fourth week of Advent. And we've been lighting the candles. I want to start that now. Hopefully everything will cooperate with us. The first week of Advent, we lit the candle of hope. And as we discussed on that week, we had hope in all of the promises that the Lord had given about a coming Messiah in Jesus Christ. And then we lit the candle of peace. And why do we have peace? It's because of what Jesus would come and do for us. And because of the trust that we have and the faith that the Lord has given us in those promises. And so the weeks of Advent continue from hope and peace. And folks, we have joy in our hearts as we build our trust in Christ, as we know what He will do, and we believe the Word of God. And as we have spoken and discussed many times, and part of the message that the angels brought, do not be afraid. See, we are called to be God's people, to recognize that, yes, we are living in this world, but we are not alone, that God is with us. So regardless of what we encounter in this world, just as these candles are light, we are to be a light in the dark world. And folks, that brings us to the last candle of the circle of the Advent wreath that we are lighting today. And this is a candle of love. And we know that God is love. 1 John 4:9 tells us, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." And that's an important part, because I just mentioned to us that even though we're in this world, we are not alone. And we are supposed to live a life that is emblematic of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be living through Him, because God loved us so much that He sent His only Son. Isaiah 9:6-7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And folks, it's important we recognize that everlasting. Because, you know, the circle is complete here. God's love for us is everlasting, and nothing can separate us from that love. We are encircled by it, and we are protected by it. And it all culminates in what we worship this day, in Jesus Christ. The center candle is called the Christ candle. It is a candle of light, because Jesus is the light of this world. John 3:16-21. As we talk about love and we talk about the light of the world, the most widely recognized passage in all the Scriptures. Well, folks, let it sink into your heart. Think about the true meaning of it. God so loved. We just lit the candle with love. He so loved us. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And again, folks, that everlasting, His kingdom there shall be no end. His love for us, like that serpent, is everlasting. John 1:1-4 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. We need to examine ourselves, which is Christ's light burning in us for others to see. We just lit the candle of light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them, saying again, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I pray, folks, that you are following the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. And that when you look for guidance, you are looking to that light of the world, to Jesus Christ. As we think of those things, and we think of what we were singing about, our Christmas celebration, about the greatest gift the world has ever known, about the gift of Jesus Christ, about what God had ordained from the very beginning to redeem His people, I want to focus on one of the passages and a little bit of levity here. Sister Kathy and I were talking on the phone, and I said, well, Sister Kathy, you took away all my sermon notes when she made the program, so I had to start over with something else. And that's okay. Because, you know, it's familiar to all of us, but it's the greatest story that's ever been told, so we can hear it over and over and over again. God loves us. I never get tired of hearing that. I pray that you don't either. I'm going to say it again and many more times. God loves us. And we need to feel that. And we need to be joyful because of that. And I want to focus on that for the remaining part of this message today, about this celebration of Christmas. Because it bears asking the question, what manner of love? John 1, 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love? John here is trying to describe the great love that God has for His people, for His children. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Now, there's an explanation here. There's a declaration and an explanation in that passage. Now, I want to focus on what manner of love taken from this text. What we need to recognize, as we are all here today, and as we're living in the world and our society, you see, the world has changed the focus away from the true meaning of Christmas. I think we all know that and believe that. The birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us. It's been changed from that being the primary focus to commercialism, to worldly celebrations that really don't acknowledge God at all. That's where the world has taken us. But we are Christ's children because of God's great love for us. We are to be the light of the world. But, folks, we are not immune to the effects that the world rubs off on us, are we? We're not immune to the world's influence. And sometimes our focus gets diverted too. And we don't focus on Jesus the way we should at the time of Christmas. Life can be so hectic. There's so many things pulling at us. If, folks, Satan hurls everything in our path to suck away the joy of Christmas that we should be focused on. Because there is nothing in this world that can compare to the gift which God gave us. And so when we allow the world to divert our attention off the true focus of Christmas, which is Jesus, our joy becomes diminished a little bit. We get caught up in all the cares of the world. And folks, that's exactly what Satan wants. And you're going to ask me, well, why are you bringing Satan into a Christmas message?
Well, in the passages that Brother Pat read in our program, Satan was very evident and filled in the heart of Herod. He was all over the place. He was doing everything he could to prevent the birth, or to extinguish the birth, or kill the baby. There's no ends that Satan won't go to prevent us from recognizing the true focus of Christmas, to worshiping Jesus. Folks, make no mistake. Satan will even twist scriptures. He will twist the scripture and put it in your heart to make it think something or say something, and you believe something else rather than what the scripture says. It's happened with Christmas message too. If we read again John 3:1, we should find it comforting. I'm going to read it. I know we can't go back on the PowerPoint, but I want you to listen to this. And then we're going to break it down just a moment. Behold, what manner of love. You can put that in your own words. What great love, how indescribable love that God has for His children. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. That means given to us, showered us with, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. We are called the children of God. And I said I wanted to focus on the love of God. But just an example of how Satan will twist things. Rather than being comforted by being described as the children of God, some people, especially in the Christmas and holiday seasons, their mind goes to another place. And they focus on the world does not know us. You ever thought of that? How many people do you hear, if you watch news, it doesn't take too long to come up about how many people are despairing at Christmas? How many people feel alone? How many people feel abandoned? You see, Satan leads us down this path that, well, the world doesn't care about me. The world doesn't recognize me. I don't fit in. I feel alone and abandoned. Now, maybe you've been in that situation at some point in your life. I think it's probably fair to say that many people have. Maybe all of us have. It's crossed our minds. I pray that's not you today. I also pray that if it's you, that you will hear this message. And it will lift you higher that we're about to begin to look at. And I pray that if you know somebody in your life, that you will share this message with those people. Because we need it, folks. Just as the circle of Advent, as that wreath represents, we are encircled by God's great love. Nothing can separate us from that love. And we have every reason to have hope and peace that comes from that hope. And joy because of what God will do and what God has done for us. And we should feel the love of Jesus Christ. And if He is the light of our life, we will follow Him. And we can overcome the deceptions of Satan in this world. And not allow the joy to be robbed from us and taken away. And to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. And I pray that this message will help you to do that. And yes, we just went through it. But I want to read it again. And I want to break it down and dissect it. And I want you to apply it to your life, and if not your life, apply it to share the message so that somebody else who needs it can apply it to theirs. And it starts in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in some Bibles it will say, glory to God in the highest. And that's the message that the angels sang, glory to God in the highest. Now let's begin reading in verse 8. We're going to go through some verses and then we're going to stop and back up and make some applications. And as usual, I'm going to ask some questions. And if these questions hit home, then folks, you are here where you need to be. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. You know, sadly, some people never hear that unless they're watching Charlie Brown on TV. The story of Christmas. Linus recited that, in case you had forgotten. That's as close as many people ever get, because they don't read their Bibles and they don't go to church. But the story remains the same. It does not change. Christ has come. Now, folks, I want you to think about this and start applying it to your life. Because now I'm going to ask some questions and we're going to go back up. And I want you to consider some things that maybe you have not in a while. I was asking the questions, where is your focus? Have you been distracted by worldly things this year? Or have you really been focused on the gift of eternal life that comes to us through Jesus Christ? You see, when we focus on the other things of the world, and our faith gets a little weakened, and we get a little despairing if things aren't going right, whatever the case may be, we begin to question everything. We even question the Christmas story. And I've asked you this before, so if it comes to mind, that's good. That meant that you listened one time to me. Do you believe in angels? Some people don't. If you don't believe in the Christmas story, you may not believe in angels. You might start doubting everything in the Bible. You see, our focus needs to be on God. But the world and Satan will pull our attention away to something else. Let me ask you, think about that question for just a moment. Only you can answer how truthfully do you believe in angels. I want to share something with you. And this ties in a very profound way. Now, we haven't heard of him as much in recently because he retired. But pastor of Saddleback Church, Rick Warren, wrote a book, it's been many years or several years ago now, called The Purpose-Driven Life. And the very first sentence starts out, it's not about you. I think he's right when he says that, because, folks, the world does not revolve around you. Now that may sound like a something. What does that have to do with Christmas? Well, it has everything to do with Christmas. Because for some people, all they care about is what they're going to get for Christmas. It has become so commercialized in their lives, if they want to put on the greatest to-do to impress their friends, and all the presents their friends are going to bring, or that their families are going to bring, what am I going to get? That's their focus. And boy, Satan has done his job. We even teach children now. That's what Christmas is all about. It's all about commercialism and materialism. You see, Satan works in so many insidious ways to divert us away from the true meaning of Christmas about Jesus Christ. That's what the focus of Christmas is. It's not about you. So if you're all caught up in that commercialism, if you're all caught up about what am I going to get, you're on the wrong path. And you need to be thinking about what manner of love God has bestowed upon us. Now I know all of you here. And I know where your hearts are. It's focused on the true meaning of Christ. But you know, we're all human. Sometimes events in our lives pull us away. When I was at the graveside with the Colbert family, there were several friends there that knew Robert. And I don't think most of them were churchgoers. But they were brokenhearted that Robert had passed away. Even though Robert wasn't the most, I guess, faithful churchgoer, as you may want to describe it, Robert did love the Lord. He hadn't lived a perfect life. And his focus wasn't always on Christmas. But I tried to share the message of hope that we all have through Jesus. And there were a lot of tears there at the graveside. Because you see, Robert loved. And Robert gave what he could to others. Robert didn't focus on himself. He cared more about others than he cared about himself. And many people told me that there at that graveside. You see, folks, our life is not supposed to be about us. We are supposed to be the lights of the world. But sometimes, we can't help it as human nature. And we start thinking, well, what about me? And this is where Satan gets very, very insidious and terrible and deceitful. Because we start thinking and doubting, what about me? You see, we forget about God's great love. What manner of love He has bestowed upon us. We forget about God's great love, and we can't help but wonder, does God really care about me? And that's where the despair comes in. Because we think that the momentary circumstances of our life somehow reflect God's love for us. And it does not. Don't believe that lie. Does God really care about me? Does God love me? You see how that passage in John gets broken down, where we should be joyful being called the children of God. And because Jesus told us that the world hated Him before it hated us, and taking that and being joyful over it, rather we allow Satan to divert our attention and to think, well, the world doesn't care about me. Well, no, the world doesn't like Christians. But we forget that too often, and we start focusing on ourselves. How can we ever forget that? God loves us. He sent His only Son, but sometimes, folks, we do. And when we forget about that, and we allow from whatever circumstances, we may be in bad health, or we may be caught up in the sea of despair, and the sea of hurt and anguish, our emotions lead us astray, and we ask, does God care about me? And when that question comes into your life, you question everything there is in the Bible. I ask you, do you really care about, do you believe the Christmas story, and do you believe in angels? Well, folks, either you disregard it, or you will take it to heart, because in what the passages we just read, we find angels all over the place. And angels are messengers. Gabriel appeared to Joseph. Gabriel appeared to Mary. Gabriel, he appeared to Zacharias. I am the one who stands in the presence of God. The angel was there. And here we have the angels appearing to the shepherds. Let's read again in verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. You see, doesn't matter if you believe in angels. Sometimes people do, sometimes they don't. The Bible says it, so I believe it. And I pray that you believe it too, because I believe every word that God is written in the Bible is God's word. So yes, I believe in angels. And when you believe in angels, they come from heaven. And they bring us messages. So automatically, folks, it begins to put us back in perspective. There's something way up here who's higher than me, and I'm not focused on myself anymore. I'm focused on God. And the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord. Can you imagine being a shepherd seeing that? The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. But the angels, put yourself in the place of the shepherds there. It would be cold this time of year in Israel right now. And these hills around Jerusalem, around Bethlehem, it would have been cold out there that night. And the angels came to them, to the shepherds. And it's no coincidence, folks, that we've been studying the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. We'll get to that in just a moment. But they were afraid. I think I might be afraid, too, if I saw such a miraculous thing occur. But, folks, the angel was delivering a two-part message. A two-part message. And no matter where you are in your life, these two things apply to us. The same message. Do not be afraid. I've said this now for about a month straight. In my research, the Bible says 365 times, do not fear. One time for each day. So do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on peace, good earth, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I don't know if you caught it, but, you know, first there was the angel talking, and then there were heavenly hosts, there were more angels. So, folks, if you don't believe in angels, you should start. Because there's not just one. There's a whole heavenly host of them. And they appeared to these shepherds. And the message was that there was a Savior. And it answers another question. Why is there peace on earth and goodwill towards men? Because our Savior is coming. The hope that all creation had been groaning for. And the promises that God had made is now fulfilled because Jesus Christ is born. You see, God knew that we needed a Savior. You know, we look at ourselves and we start thinking about ourselves and we recognize our condition. Folks, we can't save ourselves and we never will be able to. But God looked down upon us, on His children, and He knows our sins and He knows our weaknesses and our inabilities, and He knows we need the Savior. And because of that Savior, because later on in Jesus' life, when He would be crucified on that horrible cross, that veil will be torn in two. So there is peace on earth because of what Jesus Christ did. The veil that separated us from God is no longer there because of Jesus Christ, because of our Savior that was born that day, because of what Christ would do on that cross. You see, it's all come to fulfillment. The angels are proclaiming the message, this day, your Savior is born. Our Savior. So I told you that we are never alone. We have nothing to fear. Because Jesus has promised that He is always with us. And that's what we need to be focused on. Not on the commercialism of Christmas. So I hope it answers the question for just a moment. Does God care? Does God really care about me? Does He care? Of course He cares. I said I'd say it again. God loves you. He cares and He loves you. And the proof is the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate on Christmas Day. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is no greater gift. Everlasting life. Folks, we have no reason to be discouraged or despairing in this world. We have no reason to be... We may not like our momentary circumstances sometimes,
But we should be celebrating each day the Lord gives us with joy in our hearts, because Christ told us that I have overcome the world. Think now about the next passages that we'll read. It's another affirmation of God's love for us. I said this message, the focus was what manner of love. You see, God gave His only begotten Son to save us from our sins. And in John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, we have another affirmation of what we're reading in 1 John 3. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I hope you think for just a moment, because you understand the meaning of that scripture verse. God sent His only Son that we might live through Him. You see, He promises us eternal life. Jesus came, and the angels are heralding His birth. And the message to the shepherds and to me and to you is that Christ came. He is our Savior. You see, He was a baby born for sacrifice. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, we know it, but how often do you think about it? Jesus came to this earth to be the substitute for us, to be the propitiation for our sins, a baby born for sacrifice. And folks, one day, this baby that came, He came willingly to this earth. Jesus humbled Himself. He was in heaven and He left heaven. And He came to this earth. Born in the flesh. That's what it means, Emmanuel. God is with us. He took on the form of a baby. And one day, that baby born for sacrifice would later say, as He hung on that horrible cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How can you ever question God's great love? How can you ever allow the world to divert your focus from the true meaning of Christmas, joyfully celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ? I don't think that we can question that. But folks, again, I said that Satan sometimes is persistent and he's deceitful and he takes us so many different places. See, a lot of people may say, well, yeah, I believe the Christmas story, and I might even believe in angels, and I believe that Christ came. But there's still a question that's lingering here. What about me? How do I know that the Christmas gift is for me? You see, sometimes when we alienate ourselves and we get so pulled down by these false emotions, we question everything. And we may say, well, that's for everybody else, but what about me? Well, folks, God's grace is for all of His children. But still, we can be deceived, and we start questioning. Do you ever say to yourself, I don't deserve this? I don't live right. I'm not good enough to be saved from my sins and have eternal life. Well, folks, if you feel that way, you're a good company, and I'll say welcome to the boat, because that's a boat that we're all in. None of us deserves it. In Romans 3:10, it is written that there is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody is righteous, which is why we needed Jesus Christ, which is why God sent us a Savior. And that should be the focus. But you see, we focus on ourselves. So if you think that way, I'm not good enough, I don't deserve it, well, no, you don't. But stop focusing on yourself, because that's where your attention is. You're not focused on God and recognizing that it's not about you and your righteousness or lack of righteousness. Christmas is about God and the love for His children and what He has done for His children. You see, we have grace through Jesus Christ. It's about what God did for us, what manner of love. He sent His only begotten Son to come to this world and be the propitiation for our sins so that we might live through Him, is what the scripture tells us. Now, there's something that all of us need to think about. All of us unworthy people, we need to realize. In our text back in Luke, verses 8 through 14, we find the shepherds. I said I'd get back to that in just a moment. Well, things have changed. We've been focusing on the 23rd Psalm. And I've been sharing from you some of the wonderful perspectives that Keller had, who wrote a book, Life of the Shepherd, of what it was like in the time of David, when David was shepherd. But times have changed as we get to the Jesus birth. Now, shepherds are still a vital part of life. We might say that there was a new sheriff in town. You see, the Israelites, the Jewish people, were living under the religious dictates and authority of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And it was different from what it was at the time of King David. Listen to a description of the Judean shepherds, which was, this is taken from a book written by a researcher who has written a lot of things in biblical texts. His name is Doug Goins. He paints a very descriptive picture of the Judean shepherds at the time of Christ. He says, the Judean shepherds were the lowest of the low. Think about that, the lowest of the low socially. They were common men, a despised class with a bad reputation. Shepherds were known as thieves because they were nomadic. And in their wandering around and shepherding the herds, they moved their sheep around the country. Well, in all that activity, they sometimes forgot what is mine and what is thine. So they might have picked up something along the way that belonged to another person. And they were all tarred with the same brush, that they were untrustworthy and they were dishonest. You know, sometimes that happens to us in life. We get tarred by the same brush, even though it may not apply. We all get lumped in together. And so the shepherds were despised. He even goes on to say that they were not allowed to give testimony in the Jewish court of law. Their work made it impossible for them to observe the Jewish ceremonial laws and the temple rituals, so they were considered religiously unclean and unacceptable. That's who the shepherds were. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. Does it seem a little bit curious to you, or maybe even amazing? Why did the angels appear to these social outcasts? Why did they appear to these, I'm not good enough, I'm not living right, all these unworthy, unpresentable shepherds, the unwanted and the ostracized, just like some people feel today? That's who the angels appeared to. Why didn't angels appear to the well-to-do, to the rich and the affluent, to the high and mighty, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Have you ever asked that question? You know, Jesus was approached by one of the lawyers and said, Rabbi, I know that you are not a respecter of any person. That holds true here too. See, the angels came to the shepherd. I believe, as we read that part of our story, in verse 11 it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Born to you, to each of us, make it personal, born to you. It's not about anybody else anymore. It's about you. Born to you this day. The city of David is his Savior. And I tried to express this message to some of those people that were at Robert's funeral. I believe that when he says he came for you, he said he is talking to all of us, unworthy, lowly shepherds, for you and for me, and all of us not living right, not good enough, unworthy people today. For all of the lowly sinners,
previously had no hope.
But see, when we start turning our focus back on Jesus Christ, we have hope. And we have the truth of the gospel that Jesus came. And the angels are talking to the common man. He's not talking to the politically empowered people. He's not talking to the high and mighty. No, the angels are talking to me and to you and the average person. And he's saying to you is born this day a Savior. Today we have hope because our Savior was born. Jesus himself said in Luke 19, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. All those not good enough, not living right, unworthy, ostracized, can look down upon, condescended upon shepherds. The everyday person like me and you. You see, Christ came to give us hope. And that's where Christmas becomes intensely personal. You see, folks, it's not enough for us to say that, abstractly say, yeah, I believe in Christmas or Jesus was born. That's not good enough. We have to say more than that. It's not enough to say and think, well, Christ came and came for somebody else. You can't do that either. You have to know and believe and have the faith that Christ came and that Jesus is a Christmas gift for you. For you. You see, sometimes I say it's not about you, but sometimes we deep down we have to know that yes, God loves even me. And so the message is about you. Christ came and is a Christmas gift for you. Now, how do you know it? How do you know that from other people? How do you know that that family member that doesn't live right, that's not good enough, that puts themselves and isolates themselves and wants to live a life contrary to what the Bible tells us to live? How do you deal with other friends who don't believe at all, but yet they make these expressions of God and thinking about God? Well, I know there's a higher power. You see, there's a lot of things that separate us and define us. But how do you know that the Christmas gift is for you? Because I believe each and every one of that is here can say these following words that are found in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. And folks, this is a great equalizer for God's people. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, the Pharisees and Sadducees tried to separate everybody. They wanted to lord it over other people. They felt like they walked on a higher plane and I'm better than you. But yet the angels came to pronounce to the common man that Christ has come for you and for me. You see, this is a great equalizer. If you can confess Jesus Christ has come with your mouth, if you can publicly say it and believe that he was raised from the dead and he died for your sins, the Bible is very clear here. And nobody can take it away from you. You shall be saved. That gift of everlasting life. You see, if you have that, and I've said this following thing many times, and I hope with repetition that it's you remember. If you can say that, you can only do it by one way. Because you have the gift of faith in your heart. And God does not give that faith to those who are not his children. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. You see, by God's grace, he gives you that gift of faith if you are his child. If you have that gift of faith, yes, you can publicly profess him as Lord and Savior and know that he came and died for your sins. Because that's what Christmas is all about.
Folks,
if you are not experiencing Christmas, then perhaps you're focused on earthly things. Perhaps you are focused on yourself. And you need to be focused on Jesus Christ. We need to be with gratitude on our knees, thanking God for the wonderful gift of His only begotten Son that He gave us. You see, that's the true focus of Christmas. That Jesus Christ came and He fulfilled all of those prophecies. God's promises never fail. He sent His only Son. So I want to encourage you to think about what Rick Warren was teaching. And if you've never read his book, and I have to say I have not read it entirely, but I've read a few parts of it. But I agree with him wholeheartedly in his opening statement. Well, two things. The purpose-driven life. You see, God created you. He knows you. He loves you. And He sent His Savior to redeem you. You are covered and encircled by His grace. And you have a purpose. He wrote that book, A Purpose-Driven Life. We all have a purpose. And we read it in our opening scripture in John, 1 John chapter 3. What manner of love the Lord has bestowed upon us. You see, we have the purpose to live through Christ. We have the purpose to be an example to others. And it's not just about you. It's about what Jesus has done. And it's about sharing and spreading that hope. And spreading that peace and joy at Christmas time. Don't we have enjoy Christmas to the utmost when we see joy in other people's faces and in their hearts? You see, the joy of Christmas should be told and spread and given to everybody. It's not just to be held within ourselves. Because it's not about us. It's what God has done to all of us, unworthy, not good enough, not living right shepherds. That includes us, and it includes our family members, and it includes others that we might know. So we need to be spreading the story of Christmas. And the shepherds spread that story too. See, what I'm telling you to do, we have the example. We were just read it. Let's read it again in verse 15 of chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. They went and told everybody. Have you told one person in your life that may not be a family member or a believer about the reason of Christmas? They went and they told everybody. You know, folks, you never know. You just never know. You might be the not good enough, the not living right, the unworthy, the undeserving, lowly shepherd that other people look down upon, that the Lord uses as His instrument to spread His word to somebody else. Are you spreading the reason for our hope and joy and peace and love at Christmas? We need to. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We need to be spreading the true meaning of Christmas. What manner of love God has bestowed upon us. He gave us Jesus. He gave us Jesus. Our Savior is born. That's the true story of Christmas. And folks, my prayer is that if for some reason the world has pulled you away from the true focus of Christmas, that you will refocus your life and put it back on Jesus Christ. And you will be filled with the joy that we are intended to have. That is my prayer.